Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai. So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 12, The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. We're on page 58. The Lord, at first they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleaned everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Simhasana, cleansed it and put it in its original place, and again put it in its original place. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small. So it seems that there's many buildings in the complex like that. And finally cleansed the area between the temple and the kirtan hall. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple. So it seems that and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. So it seems that it's an old traditional style where you have the deities and then you have the kirtan hall and a gap in the middle. Because the guests will come in the middle and can dance in that, and then those doing kirtan can just be there in their place. It's gently raised, they can see the deities, but they don't get, in the way, or people don't get in their way like that. You see it in many old places like that. Yeah, so Lord Chaitanya is doing this cleansing himself. Because then he shows the importance of it. So he goes out, he distributes prasad, he does kirtan, he does the cleaning himself, these things. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places, he even cleansed with those tears. Right? There's so much that he could actually scrub with them. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhogamandir, was cleansed, and then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after another. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so here's straw, dust, grains of sand, so he got everything. The Lord then told the devotees, I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is much greater. Right, so all the devotees together, and then Lord Chaitanya's pile is bigger. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. Because when you're dealing with stones and that, especially if it's been, built some time before, you have these different areas between them, the stones get worn, so things get in between, so he's having them go and clean all these things. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. Okay, so because the first time you do it, you're getting major stuff and you're seeing major stuff. You won't exactly see the minor stuff. It means if you're a good cleaner, you can get most of it. But if you go back the second time, that's when you get the fine work. Because also when you clean, sometimes things go up and then they settle back again, the dust and that. So the second time, then you can get the finer point. So this is a major. If you're doing a daily cleaning, then you know you just clean it the once like you do. But here is if you're doing any major cleaning, then by doing it twice, then you're going to actually get things. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought the 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, walls, the floor, the sitting place, simhasana, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water onto the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and the floor. Remember, when this was devotees in that temple, then we were living in a, you know, in the West, generally houses are made out of wood. You know, so wood ceiling, wood floors, wood walls, maybe even plaster ceiling. But the devotees, it was, you know, because every week you do a maha cleaning. And so then they got inspired by this story. They said, no, but there they threw water and all that. So the brahmacharis got buckets of water, were throwing them and all that. I'm not sure what was right below. I think maybe the deity room or something like that. The pujari started noticing there was water coming through. And then next thing you know is the temple commander and the president are there. And, you know, they had to explain that. No, these temples that lurk at Gundicha is made of stone, so you can do that. But when it's made of wood, you don't do that. But they were enthusiastic. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath, right? Because you have the pot, and then you have smaller things that you throw. You ever seen, like, sometimes they do the roads, they have a small cup, and it's one of the 64 arts, how to throw water. Because otherwise you just kind of throw it and makes a lot of water, it doesn't do much. Yeah. But they take a smaller amount, like you put it in the cup and put your hand, and then how you throw it, it'll go a big area. You know, and so therefore, or how you do on the walls, they do it with the wrist. You know, so you throw like this, so then you get everything is wet. Otherwise you throw it, it'll splash. You have to throw it in a way that doesn't splash, it just hits the wall and runs down. Mm-hmm. So in that way, then, like throwing it up high, it'll go down the walls, and then the walls do, it'll go on the floors, and then, yeah. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. And all the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand, and in this way they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Right? So the broom means these hard brooms. Not your regular broom. They're coconut fronds, so they're hard, so they have no problem with water. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. Right, because you can block the drain, because if you want the water to sit a little bit, because by that you can get in and really scrub, get into the corners and all that, and then when you're ready, then you open the drain and let everything out. Otherwise, the drains open, you throw water, it'll go out. But this way, it appears that they were especially trying to get it very nice. The Lord mopped the room with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. Right? So then after they dried everything. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. Because if it's left wet, then if you move on it, it can get dirty again, or it'll catch dust. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why for puja, you don't wear wet cloth or cloth that has any oil on it or anything like this, because it collects dust. If you have a damp cloth, you go by the wall, all the dust from the wall is on your cloth. And then you're doing puja. So therefore, you dry everything. You clean it, then dry it. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots, right? Because this was, they explained, the main temple, and after that they did all the other rooms. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool, and pleasing, as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared, right? So this is, the principle is by doing all these this cleaning like this, it purifies the mind and brings it to a very, very, very nice state. You know, because sometimes it's thought, you know, how to purify yourselves. So this is one of the main things, is cleaning. That keeps everything very, very nice. So here it'll be, transcendental goodness. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Srup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, and Brahmananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. So they have hundreds of pots. They're bringing more water pots. So they're pouring the water, going back, you know, all these things. Yeah. Some people were filling the pots. Others were washing the rooms. But everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy names, Krishna, Krishna. Another delivered a pot while chanting Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something like that. Like we use Hari Bol, like that. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleansing and washing with hundreds of hands. He approached every devotee just to teach them how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. Right? Because the point is, you're just pointing out what's wrong, but it's not that there's a fault in the person, it's just that how it's being done, because you're doing it for Krishna, you want to do it nice. So you show them. The Lord would say, "You have done well, please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus the devotees began to work with great attention. So somebody's working very nicely, so he's telling him, you're doing really good, show this to others. And then the others would think, oh, I'm not doing well enough. And they'd be more focused. They watched the Jagamohan area, and then the place where the food was kept. All the other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. Because it's not just the deities there. They'll have to have the kitchen, or the boga room, you know, where the pujaris are going to do, the puja paraphernalia, everything. So it's a big, big operation. The temple place won't be necessarily so big, but then the everywhere else is, the combined is big, no? Yeah.
It seems that it is all the places who belong to the temple.
Yes. But this area is all part of the original thing. They're saying because it's Gundicha, it may have been that was already built before by Maharaj and Dudumna. Because, you know, they say that it's Gundicha was the name of his wife. Right? So then it was there. So I think this Rathiyatra has been going on a long time. So it's not something started, you know, just recently like that. It's been going on a long time. It doesn't even say that Shankaracharya, who then had something to do with their particular rituals of the puja or standard legs and that, doesn't say that he started Rathiyatra. So it seems it's one of those, it's always been there. Thus all the places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, the Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava." Now it's his, right? "This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I now do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me." Right, because it's within the temple, it's not like a formal situation like that. Srila Prabhupada. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnava was, quote unquote, your Gaudiya Vaishnava. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are followers of the Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The Parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the six Goswamis. Then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the Parampara system of the Gaudiya, of the Chaitanya cult. There are many offenses one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity, nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances and touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. This is considered an offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings. The point is that even though one plays the part of a spiritual master, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. 212, 128, 135. At this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and gave him a little push, ejected him from the Gundijapuri temple, and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw, grains of sand, and dirty things. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking up the straws and grains of sand, he said, "I shall gather everyone's collection, and I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." In this way, all the quarters of the Gundija temple were completely cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from the different rooms was finally let out through the halls, it appears as if rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Srila Prabhupada. In commenting on the cleansing of the Gundija temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the world leader, as the world leader was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Chaito Dharpa Namarjanam. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila 20:12. In this age, everyone's heart is especially unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Haridyanta sto hyabhadrani. To wash away all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 confirms the statement. Sringatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Haridyantasto Yabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsitam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. If a devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Sri Krishna, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will help cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart, and the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee therefore has to clean his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains and sand, weeds or dust, in other words, anyabhilasha purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. Right? Because the Gundicha, they're going to bring Jagannath. So then that cleansing, that's what it needs to be. Then Krishna comes and sits. So he's saying the same way, as the heart is cleansed, then Krishna sits there very nicely. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruit of works, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyanavritam Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment. Understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruit of activity, severe austerity and penance, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean, and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless the hearts are cleansed. Right, so, you know, some of these things like that is that, yeah, we're not trying to materially uplift ourselves. It's not a matter of put yourself in a bitter position. It's a matter of performance of your duty. And in the performance of your duty, if then different facilities come up or things like that, then that's fine. That's not a problem. But the point is that's not what we're attempting for. You know, does that make sense? We're doing our duties, and that includes making arrangements for family or this or that, or if not, then, you know, whatever is our position. Yeah. Understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, so then it's not a matter of the inductive, it's a matter of deductive. Knowledge comes down, it descends. So it's not a matter of, well, this and that, and this doesn't make sense, and all that. No, you start with the top. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has all six opulences and that. Everything's expanding from him, and like this, it comes down. Then you can make sense out of it. Right? So, severe austerity and penance, like, you know, being too austere, things like that. You might find somebody's naturally very simple or very austere, but you'll find that their personality is very pleasant. Very simple. But if you find their personality very hard and harsh and strong and like that, that means then it's an impediment. Mm-hmm. You know? Like that. Because the point is developing love for Krishna, not being austere. Like Hiranyakashipu didn't get any spiritual benefit from his standing on his toes. You know? Like that. So we have to be, so what is given to us, that's what we do. The four regulative principles, that's our austerity. Performing our duties without, that's our austerity. Then, you know, trying to do things properly without attachment so that it can be done nicely for Krishna, you know, chanting the rounds properly, associating with devotees. These are then the natural austerities. This is what we do. Right? A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. Oh, that's so funny. In modern language, yeah. It's called an inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, samsara Vishanale Diva Nishi Hiya Jvale Juraite Na Jainu Upai. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principles of devotional service. Material enjoyment includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation of the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. So we can see is that there's things that are being pointed out in this pastime, but it means not connected to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So one has to be very careful. Otherwise, someone will say is, you know, we'll pick those things that we like or something. Oh, someone's giving in charity. So I shouldn't give in charity because I don't want to give in charity. I'm a miser. So, oh, see, it says here, don't give in charity. But the point is that we're giving in charity because of the piety it gets. We're doing these things because of the piety. No, we do these things because it pleases Krishna, right? So if it's within our duties and that it's recommended by the acharyas, we do that because it pleases Krishna. That's why we do things. Right? So we always have to see that. It's that balance.
So where's your primary intent?
Yes, it's always the primary intent. Just like you see in the Shastras, Krishna is described as Saguna. He's also described as Nirguna.
Yes, yes.
Right? So he doesn't have any material qualities, he only has spiritual qualities.
Yes.
So then these those things that are done, we see the Acharyas recommend that are done connected to Krishna, that's a value. Those things that are done not connected to Krishna, but for the material benefit in karma, jnana, or yoga, that's then useless. You know, you can say, oh, but it'll be used in Krishna's service, but the point is you only get the credit for it when you do use it. Right? In other words, in renunciation, you get the benefit after you've given. I do the work, it's my work, my results and everything, then I give the results to Krishna. That purifies then all the work and that's been connected. But it's after I've given it, because it's my work. Right? But sannyas then means I'm doing this for Krishna's service. That means right from there you're getting purified. You know, you're coming closer to Krishna. Like that. So it's one has to see the mentality here. Otherwise then there'll be a problem. You know, one will take the words that are see here. Oh, see here, you can't do any of these things. So makes sense.
Maharaj, in order to avoid the anartha, the recommended process here is just to be Krishna conscious.
Yes.
And then to maintain that balance, to get to keep the same spirit.
Mm.
Sometimes it is difficult.
Yeah. Yes, but that's why it's practice. That's why sadhana is practice. You try, it's too much this way, you know.
Yes,
you know, okay, I'm going to get up at midnight and chant 64 rounds before Mangal Artik, and then, you know, like this and that. Then you might find that doesn't work so good. You know, if you can do and maintain it, great. But if not, then, you know, then you have to find the balance.
Yes.
You know, well, there's the other ones that... how you say, wake up 10 minutes before Mangal Arati, they're brushing their teeth, taking a shower at the same time, you know, like that, and you know, and putting on tilak, you know. It's like, you know, so it's like, you got to find a balance. And then you find what works for you, and then, because what you can sustain, that's what you try to do.
It's quite individual.
It's very individual. And whether you can sustain it or not, that's another thing.
Yes.
Because then there may be so many other things to learn, and Krishna then puts all kinds of other things there. Because let's say I'm trying to sustain it, but I also have a controlling mentality. So then I think I'm in control. So that, see, now I've arranged this, I've arranged my sadhana. So Krishna will put little obstacles that, no, you're not quite in control. You know, just as you're going to put on your tilak, the lights go off. So now you have to go look around for something like this and that. You know, it's always that. Or, you know, you worked it out. You know, you got it down. You know, I leave here, and, you know, in 37 seconds, I'll be at the temple and this and that, and I'll be there just there, and I get in this place, and then I'll like this. And so then when you go, and then you find that that gate to the building is closed, and you have to go around to the other gate. You know, so your 37 seconds is not exact. So Krishna has ways of doing. Plus, we see is that when we get situated, the first thing is we're not necessarily steady. Right, beginning is we're not steady in doing devotional service at all. Sometimes it's devotional, sometimes it's not. But then you become steady in devotional service, but it's not necessarily that you're steady. Steady in the particular activity. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like two different levels of the same thing. And so that's then how the whole process will work, the anartha nivritti. So one just has to just keep going, that's all. Knowing that doing this connected to Krishna, then Krishna will be pleased and all this will work. Because it's Krishna who cleans the heart. He's the one sitting in the heart. If we try to make everything nice for him, then it works out. So the focus should always be more on Krishna. But you're aware of these other. You're not a fool. You're aware of what you know. So you're focusing on Krishna, doing everything for Krishna and all that. And the negative, you're only aware of that to make sure that you're not getting distracted by that, so it takes away from your positive of doing things for Krishna. Right? But being a negative approach, that won't be so strong. You know, it will purify the heart because things are being done for Krishna, of course. But I'm focusing on avoiding, you know, this or that, or doing this or that, or anything that's like purifying. But I'm more worried about I get purified, rather than this is, you know, cleaning. We see it pleases Lord Chaitanya. So rather than thinking I'm doing this cleaning is pleasing to Lord Chaitanya, I'm thinking if I do this cleaning, my heart will become clean. You know, so it's two different. But both you'll definitely. But one will be more dynamic than the other. Because the one is for pleasing Krishna, so it's developing that attraction for Krishna. The other one, you're giving up your attraction to the material world. But they're two separate things. Because you can give up all attraction to the material world and still not be attracted to Krishna. But if you're attracted to Krishna, you have no attraction for the material world. And if someone asks a question, well, what if you have both? You know, then just keep at it. Continue the process.
It's like you're cleaning. You can clean one time, two times, three times.
Yeah. Because the point is, if we're just cleaning, then it might get old. But if you're serving Krishna, how does that ever get old? See, when we're talking about the intent, because the intent you're trying to put purely on pleasing Krishna. That's what we're trying to get to.
Yes.
Right? The tendency is we don't necessarily always see it like that, but that's what we're trying to get to.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So when the intent is just to please Krishna, that's the idea. Like that.
I think the Lord is tend to get lost with the concept of my spiritual life, my spiritual advancement, my sadhana, my relationship with the Guru, my relationship with the devotees, my relationship with Krishna.
What about the relationship of other devotees towards myself because of my relationship with my Guru? Yes, that's why then this point is being brought up here when Lord Chaitanya about the Bengali Vaishnava, you know, about the worship of the Guru in the temple, because the principle is there's no worship in the temple. Krishna's worshipped in the temple, but then there's the principle that the Guru represents the Supreme Lord. So on that platform, he can be he's worshiping the temple. There's not a problem. But you have to avoid this mentality that Prabhu's mentioning, that is my guru and I'm such a great devotee and I'm going to go over and show that respect and all the other devotees will see how great a devotee I am and all that kind of stuff. That's why then you don't do these things in the temple. So on formal things, you have the Vyas Puja, then you do. Otherwise than that, you have to be very careful to see the mentalities proper. You know, so that's the whole thing. Because it's mentioned by Narahari Chakrabarti, that one a weakness that a neophyte devotee has to be careful of is that he thinks my spiritual master is special, right? No, I'll say that my spiritual master, but the reason he's special is because he's connected to me. You know, it's like you said, it's my spiritual master rather than my spiritual master. So they may think that because it's just like this. I'm looking for a guru. And then I, you know, see like that, and then after some time I find somebody that I appreciate, and so then I surrender there. But the point is you have to be careful that I'm not looking at it because I chose him. That's why he's special. All the other ones I didn't choose, so they're not special. And so then they'll have a tendency to try to push their guru over everybody else's. Like that. And so then these are all weaknesses that are there. So because of that, one has to be careful. That's why then these kind of shows. I've seen situations where, you know, there's a guru puja. I mean, there's a Vyas puja. And the disciples do something nice. Disciples of the other guru, then they go, well, you can do better than that. And then, you know, and then it just keeps escalating. Like that. Until at one point, it was up to the point where it was ridiculous. You know, how they did, the arrangements and all that, the flowers, you know, very nice and that. But as soon as the program was over, then the devotee who had arranged it started taking down the decorations. So it wasn't about decorating the temple, because otherwise you'll leave them up and, you know, take them down at night or something. But it was convenient for him then. It was in the afternoon. He had nothing else to do. So he started taking. So it wasn't about decorating, pleasing the deities. It was about showing that I can make better arrangements than the other guys. So then the guru asked him, you know, this is a big arrangement. How much did this cost? And he said the money. You know, how much it was. And he says, next time, just give that to me. And you guys pick some leaves and flowers. Decorate with that. You know, he says, you guys don't know how to spend money. You know, because he'd use it for the gardens and, you know, other things. Do something nice for the deities, outfits or something like that. Well, here he just put up and after 6 hours, you know, done. With that money, they could have bought, you know, they could have bought a whole outfit, you know. Omkar could have made a full outfit for everybody. You know, stuff like that. So that's what it's talking about here. Because the problem's not Vaishnavas being respected in front of the Lord. It's the mentality of the person respecting them in front of the Lord. What's his motive? Is it about pleasing the Lord? Because if you're thinking that the spiritual master represents the Lord, that's my connection to the Lord, then there's no problem. Right? There's no problem. But if it's a matter of piety, it's that something like the other. It's just a matter of piety, you know. Oh, this and that. And it's not about the pleasing, you know, the Lord. It's about getting the mercy. Yes. You know, like everybody coming up and, like we're doing the Abhishek and, you know, this. I don't know what it is, but it's always someone who is vertically challenged, always wants to grab the Sahasrara. You know, that big thing we put in it that gives the rain shower. They always want to come up and grab that. Sometimes they do, and it brings it right down. The water pours out, it hits the deity, it falls all over, because they want to get the mercy. You know, and just watch, you get the same mercy. You know, they have to touch, they have to this. You know, you put the powder. Chananivas Pankajungri, they do it perfect, like that. No need of anybody else doing it, right? Like that. But then you'll see everybody wants to get in there and do, and then it's not nice. It, for them, they're getting the mercy, but everybody else watching it, it's like a, you know, it's a zoo. Yeah. Because the point is the Lord is having his bath in front of the deities, the devotees, and so the devotees are watching. But if you're standing in front and getting the mercy, no one can see. unless, you know, showing your backside to the Vaishnavas is giving them, you know, a, you know, how you say, unlimited lifetimes of mercy or something. I'm not sure, but so that's the why these things are there, is to be very, very careful that we don't make up our own process. You know, oh, you have to do it like this. Like I've seen this, I think it was in Vrindavan. You have that puja there. It's a very standard, straightforward puja. Then, after some time, there's more deities on the altar. And they put that puja gets more... Then the new pujari comes because they're going to leave now. Yes. Right? Then they teach the new... what you have to do and all these things and all these technical things and all this and all the things that he's introduced. Nothing to do with the original puja. He introduces all and then leaves. Like that. You know, originally there was one shaligram down at the other end, and you bathe that and all the deities are bathed. But not, no, 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 you have to have Guru one and Gornitai one and Radhakrishna one and this one and that one. I think, you know, there's two Radhakrishna ones now and this and everybody goes, oh, you know, so then the problem is, remember once the president asked, what are we supposed to do with all these deities? And I said, just put them all away. You have the shaligram. They even have more than one shaligram, you know, God. The main shaligram isn't the one you see. The small one, that's the main one. The big ones there, like that, you know, you don't need all these. Just more work for more things, and then less focus goes on the deities. So that's the thing, they introduce and all this, and you have to do it this way, and you have to do it that way. And, you know, they argue over, you know, when you throw the water from the thing, you know, on the back of the guy's head, you know, how much do you get on there? So, you only threw 27 and a half, you know, milliliters on there. It's supposed to be 28, you know, like that. You know, the guy, you know, head is already soaking wet, you know, and they sit there and argue over that. So that's the point, is we have to be very, very careful that we don't, by our own speculation, just like here you can say, see, it's against, in other words, you can't do any of these things. You know, why are they saying that we should give in charity? Like it says here, it's not proper. But he's talking about material charity, because people give in charity to get piety. Right? Like, you know, all the established wealthy people all give in charity. Why? To maintain their wealth. You know? Like that. It's a good thing, but the point is we're not trying to be good. We're trying to be pure good. You know, goodness isn't enough. Pure goodness is what we want. Does that make sense? So you have to distinguish between religion that's not being done for Krishna and religion that is. So that's the whole point. That's the mentality.
But for that, we need to know what is pure bhakti.
Yes. Yes, so you have to know. That's why it's constantly being pointed out. Because otherwise, we'll tend to get distracted, as we said. You know, we were discussing with Bhagavad Sandarbhas, the Sandini potency means the existence of things.
Yes.
You know, and the mechanics of those things, and the particular relationship, or, you know, mechanical knowledge of those things, but not being practically applied necessarily. So we take it that that's real knowledge.
Yes.
When Samvit potency, the knowledge potency, is in the position of Abhideya, mm-hmm. knowledge that's applied,
yes.
that's knowledge.
Yes.
Right? So that's the thing. Is you have those things so you can work with, but Abhideya means using that knowledge and applying it, knowing what the actual goal is. Because otherwise, if you focus on there, then you're just going to focus on getting results there. Because that increases... If I'm focusing on Sandini, I'm only going to focus on the activity results of Abhideya that are situational, that will therefore be now increase my situation. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful, because the point is we want to increase our material situation. We want to be careful that we don't see even doing the other things as just as situational. But it's connected to Krishna. You will get purified. It's good. You will advance. But at one point you have to see is how does it please Krishna? Then when that's done, then all these things, because it's about Krishna being pleased by it, not by the thing itself. Does that make sense? You know, like that. Yeah. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. See, because modernized, modern means in the Vedic definition, means non-Vedic. Like that. That's the meaning of it. Because modern's always been there. There's always been someone non-Vedic. It's not a new thing. Like that. There's always someone. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruit of activity, it overcomes the heart. Also, the other thing, whirlwinds, you know, you see a completely plain place, and there's this little whirlwind just going in one place, and it's a living entity. It's not just wind. They'll say, oh, it's wind, but it's a living entity. Because they're not just moving in a certain way, they do move around as they like. Like that. It's not like, because there's no wind. It's not like there's this wind coming and that wind and there's swirling and you got a tornado. No, this is just, it's happening right there. Nothing's going on. And it moves around, goes into the bushes, comes out. And as bigger ones you see move in a particular way, little ones go all over the place. Like that. So when you say here, the whirlwind of fruit of activity means it's not necessarily, got the necessarily the greatest consciousness. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, you know, it's like the whirlwind demon. Yeah. Doesn't mean necessarily they're demons, but it's one of the life forms. It's one of, or at least it's one of the ways they manifest themselves. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruit of activity, it overcomes the heart. Thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. Mm-hmm. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how life after life they're keeping their hearts unclean. Right? Because it means generally if it's impure or impious, well, that's more obvious. But we will take it that pious and spiritual are synonyms, but they're not. It's only when it's used to please Krishna, you know, it's free from karma, then it becomes devotional service. Right? It's important. Otherwise, like you're saying, nowadays it's very popular. No, we all have to become good and develop good qualities and all these things, and you know, like that. And so it's like the 7 qualities of a successful people. We have to develop these qualities and endeavor for these qualities. But Prabhupada always mentioned, you do devotional service, the 26 qualities naturally come. So if you want good qualities, chant more, do more service. That's how you get them. Not by these other artificial methods. So that's a desire for piety. And one of the anartas, you know, the 4 anartas, is attachment to piety. So piety gets in the way, because we want to enjoy, we want to be like this. Impiety gets in the way. You know, aparads, and then there's mistakes in deity worship. Like that, you know. So you have these different things, but piety is one of them, right? Because piety is the desire to enjoy. So asat trishna, you know, then is from this. So we have to be careful about it. That doesn't mean we don't care for piety, so now we'll be sinful. No, it's just that we're not sinful, we're not pious, we're devotional, you know. So. One who cannot give up the desire for fruit of activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruit of activities can be countered by another karma of fruit of activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activities have been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruit of activities, he cannot counter his suffering by performing auspicious activities. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. Right? So there's the idea, I done this wrong. What can I do to counteract it? There's nothing you can do to counteract it. It's done. It's got the result. You will get. But, so performance of piety activity won't remove that. it'll just produce a better result in the future. If I'm doing something wrong, and then I do something right, does it get rid of the thing that was wrong?
No.
I cut the potatoes the wrong size. So now I cut the carrots the right size. Does that make the potatoes go the right size? No, they're two different things. But this illusion is there. Therefore, they just keep on going to try to better their position, better their things like that. No, it's a matter of whatever you're getting from the past, that's coming from that. Now you do the proper thing. But you don't want to get caught up in material activity. You want to be absorbed in devotional service. Because why go from impious to pious? It's the same. You know, piety will take you up, impiety will take you down. It's still a circle. But devotional service, that takes you out of the material cycle.
Now, can we say that the concept of prayachitta is just to get economic development?
Basically, it's all fruitive work, because why does people do fruitive work? To get benefit, which means the artha. They want the artha from it. So he's doing his yagyas, very austere this life, because he wants to go to the heavenly planets. That's artha. You know, so that's the point. Then they'll enjoy their senses. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that there's this people are just doing that as something that's wrong, or that'll get in the way of all these things. So how to adjust it? How to correct it, so that I get good benefit? The point is, no. If it's our duty, how to do it nicely for Krishna. It's not our duty. Why get involved in it? You know, it's not our business.
The definition of Srila Prabhupada, I think that material desire means economic development.
Yes.
So it's very straight, no?
Because people form dharma for artha. Because pious activities are then the platform of dharma, but it's being there for artha so that you can have kama. Right? When you get tired of that, then they go for moksha. Right? And then they're born as a blade of grass, and then they start over again.
So if you put bhakti, there is no artha.
No. It means you want to get nice results for Krishna, but it's for Krishna's pleasure.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it's not the thing itself specifically. It's that you're doing it to please Guru and Krishna. That's what pleases Krishna.
It's always a question of what is primary, what is secondary,
yes.
What is intent, what is consciousness. It's always the same.
It's always the same. Mm-hmm. Because the point, if you're Krishna conscious, it's good. If you're not Krishna conscious, it's not good.
Yes.
You know, and there's so many ways you can be not Krishna conscious.
Yes.
You know, there's one Krishna and a lot of us. You know, so we can be distracted very easily. Does that make sense? Yeah. The sufferings of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. Because unless you acknowledge, let's say, nowadays they're worried about the environment or that, but the only way is to be God conscious. It's God's environment. Therefore, deal with it according to the laws of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they're doing it because we want to breathe fresh air. It's still economic development.
Yes.
But they're looking at it from an economic development where they actually won't develop. They expect someone else to do it, right? In other words, who's supposed to purify the atmosphere, right? They're not going to do anything. Their lifestyle won't change, right? Like that. They expect industry to do it, devices to do it, the government to do it. They should provide the fresh air. Nice, okay.
They give the idea.
Yeah, they gave the idea. Great, you know. But, you know, there's a good chance that he still drives his car, takes the bus, or, you know, has his barbecue.
Yes.
You know? Like that. So the whole point is it's just not... The only way is to be God-conscious, that this is God. So therefore, that's why you deal with it in a particular way. Otherwise, it's just they've decided it's bad. You know? So that makes sense, yeah. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. When the heart is actually cleansed, one can clearly see the Lord sitting there without any disturbance. In Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord confirms that he sits within the heart of the pure devotee. Sadavo hridayam mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham. In personal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the Supreme, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other stuff before?
Straw.
Yes, straw. Karma was straw and grains of sand also. Okay. They simply cause irritation to the heart. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities. Nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes yogis and jnanis in the beginning take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. But when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up the chanting. They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Right? So the name is the process and the goal.
Yes.
But they just take it as a process. And once they come to what they, and they, their liberation is their goal, once they come, they give up the chanting. They do not They do not consider that the ultimate goal is the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. Lord Krishna describes them in the Bhagavad Gita in this way: Tan aham dvishata kuran samsareshu naradhaman kshipam yajashram shram ashubhan ashurish veva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Srimad Bhagavatam 16.19. Yes, yeah, so this lowest among men, you see this Naradama is again there, because that's someone who could know or does know something about the Lord, but then turns away. So like these, they become Naradamas. They worship the Lord and all that, and then when they think that they've become advanced, and they throw out the Lord in his process. That's a Naradama. Like that. And you see, so they're envious, they're mischievous. You know, and if such persons you talk to and try to explain things or ask things, then if you bring up the Lord, they'll get very, very disturbed. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. That's what I mentioned. They also cleaned all the roads and everything around, because otherwise it's right there, it could blow back in, so they cleaned that also. That's what I said, nobody even knew how that all got cleaned. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become freed from the desire for fruit of activities, sometimes the subtle desire for fruit of activity again comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, such as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishtasa, the desire for name and fame and for high position. Jiva himsa, envy of other living entities. Nishid achara, accepting things forbidden in the shastra. Kama, desire for material gain. And puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. Right? So it says here, fault finding, duplicity, it's the same. As an example of pratishtasa, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. Right. So that duplicity. But that person who's duplicitous also is very good at fault finding. Like that. You know, so that's why you also have to be very careful of the political correctness. It's just a way to find fault in everybody. Because if it's the absolute truth, it won't change. But the problem is every so much time, what's politically correct changes. So it's not actually truth. They say, oh, we just want truth. But then if you want truth, why isn't it fixed? Why does it keep changing? Why is it so relative? And so therefore, it's just a way to find fault. You're talking and then you say a word that's not, you know, politically correct. Oh, this and that. They'll go off on that. What about what you're saying? You know, is the content of what you're saying important? You know, like that. A neophyte devotee is certainly to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, his heart is again filled with dirty things. It becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar, an incarnation. The word jiva himsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. Devotees should never make compromises with non-devotees. Right? So we don't have to please them. It's not our business. Because the point is, we do what we do, what does it matter to them? They like it, don't like it. There's so many things they like and don't like. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what does it have to do with what we do? They don't change their life for others. Like that. And so we don't need to compromise for the materialists. You know, it means we may use a different, presentation or things that would be more attractive, but with the principles in that, the basic, we don't have to change. We don't have to adjust. Like that. It's not because the point is, it's not about pleasing them, it's about making them Krishna conscious. So it's what they can hear. Because pleasing them you can never do. So if you're trying to please them, they'll never be pleased, so they'll never listen to Krishna consciousness. It's finding what kind of wording and examples that they'll listen to. But this idea, no, we have to please them first, then they'll like us, then they'll listen. Not necessarily. They don't like anybody. By acting as a professional guru, mystic yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regular principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, or meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea is to throw away all the stumbling blocks in the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed to the standard of clean marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasad and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. So he's personally doing, and he's doing in the proper way. And he's not just cleaning just to show people how to do it. He's cleaning because he wants to clean. And by coming and there and doing it, then it sets an example that people should be involved. Everybody should be involved in this. And then in that, those who are doing well, they're praised. And those who are not doing well, then you correct them. But it's without any malice. So it's just you're showing them how to do. Right? It's not that they're stupid or this or that. It's just this is how it's done. Yes?
Lord Chaitanya explains that one who plants the seed of bhakti must become a garden.
Must become a garden.
And then he explains the role and the task of a gardener is to protect the plant of bhakti and to watch out for other plants that may look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And who are actually weeds.
Yes.
So it seems that everyone becomes a gardener, but not everybody is going to make it to be a good gardener.
Yes, but eventually, that's the thing.
We pick up the weeds. When they grow, we just watch them. We think, well, they're okay. They're just part of the show.
Yeah, like that. And we think that, you know, I have such a lush garden. My weeds are better than your weeds. Yeah. Yes, so that yes, all these things are being brought out to be very, very careful. So that when, because these things will come up in our daily, that's the point, is we don't have to separately endeavor for any of the good qualities. In our regular performance of our duty, these situations will come up in which we need to look at these things properly.
So it seems that there is provision for those who will be very careful from the very beginning. For those who will be careless. Like in Madhurya Kanandini, the same thing is repeated again.
Yes.
It shows you step by step what you have to be careful.
Yes. Yes, yes. So step by step you have to be careful. And if it's repeated, that means it's important. So anything Prabhupada always talks about, the acharyas always talk about, like pure devotional service, you know, engaging everything in Krishna's service, that whatever you're doing, if it's done to please Krishna, it becomes useful. If it's not, it's not worthwhile. You know, so they're always talking about, you know, following the Vedic literatures and this and that, but if you're following them just for the karma or jnana, then that's also a waste of time. You know, you're following just to please Krishna. So it's just about bhakti. You don't get distracted by anything else. That's then what all the weeds are. Weeds are the distractions.
Yes.
By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down, and we should observe the festival by distributing prasadam and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of the cleaning, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. That's the point. Acharya means ones who teaches by example. They don't do anything. So that Prabhupada's the acharya, and at the same time say that, oh, but you know he's a pure devotee, he can do whatever he wants, so he changes the rules, he doesn't do things according to this and that. It's that no, acharya doesn't do, like you say, like sometimes it's an example, you know, all Prabhupada made temples, you know, like that instead of mutts. There's always been temples. Jagannath Puri is a temple. Who are the pujaris? Are all brahmacharis? They're all grihasthas. In India, there's temples. And then there's a few places where there's mutts.
Yes.
So the point is it's still a traditional point. Maybe in the Gaudiya mutt, they had mutts. And then the grihasthas lived in the community. But here is, there is no community in the West. So then you have to start with the temple. Everyone has to live in the temple. Then as it goes on, then you can have, you know, people living in the temple and then everybody else in the community when you can develop it. With that. So, you know, so they don't change. The acharyas don't change. So acharya means that you follow by example. You know, like that. So acharya doesn't mean now you make up the rules. That's a mistake. Acharya means he just follows scriptures. But you have to understand what it means. Like that, yeah. The Lord was very pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus, the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. Right? Because they're cleaning, then Jagannath will come and sit there. So it's the same principle.
Maharaj, can we say that since it was in two times, can we say the first cleaning is to take out the gross material desire?
Yes, yes.
And the second one, subtle one?
Subtle, because we saw is that you may get rid of these things here. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonal and monism, success and the four principles of religious activity, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Like we say, sometimes the devotees are so worried about artha, you know, like this, or their concept of religion, or these other things like that. Yes. And so these political platforms and all that, it'll come down to money.
Yes.
You know? And so then these things, they're subtle. And so you just have to be careful. Like that, and as soon as you find them, then you take them out. You know, it's just, you know, maybe don't see the weed, but when it grows up, then you can see, oh, that's a weed.
Yes.
And then you pull it out. So that it comes up, that's not the surprising thing. Because they're there, there's so many there, so what's the surprise? But one should pull them out. So that's why the gross things are done, but then you have to watch for the subtle. Yeah, so exactly like what you're saying. 212.136. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the Nrisinga temple inside and outside. Finally, he rested a few minutes and then began dancing. Srila Prabhupada. The Nrisinga temple is a nice temple just outside the Gundicha temple. In this temple, there is a great festival on the day of Nrisinga Chaturdasi. There is also a Nrisinga temple at Navadvip where the same festival is observed, as described by Murari Gupta in his book Chaitanya Charita. There's a big Nrisinga temple in Navadvip?
Nrisingapali.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because Navadvip meaning the mandala, not Navadvip.
But the temple is small.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
212.137.150. All around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees perform congregational chanting. The Lord, just like a maddened lion, danced in the middle. As usual, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, there were perspiration, trembling, fading, tears, jubilation, and roaring. Indeed, the tears from his eyes washed his body and those before him. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the bodies of all the devotees with the tears from his eyes. The tears poured like the rains in the month of Shravan, you know, like when it first starts. The sky was filled with great and loud chanting of Sankirtana, and the earth shook from the jumping and dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always liked the loud chanting of Srup Damodar. Therefore, when Srup Damodar sang, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high in jubilation. The Lord thus chanted and danced for some time. Finally, understanding the circumstances, he stopped. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Sri Gopal, the son of Advaitacharya, to dance. While dancing in ecstatic love, Sri Gopal fainted and fell to the ground unconscious. When Sri Gopal fainted, Advaitacharya hastily took him upon his lap. Seeing that he was not breathing, he became very much agitated. Advaitacharya and others began to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisingadeva and sprinkle water. The roaring of the chant was so great that it seemed to shake the entire universe. When the boy did not regain consciousness after some time, Advaitacharya and the other devotees began to cry. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his hand on the chest of Sri Gopal and said loudly, "Gopal, stand up." As soon as Gopal heard the voice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately came to his senses. All the devotees then began to dance, chanting the holy name of Hari. This incident has been described in detail by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Therefore, I have described it only in brief. Verses 151-203. The post-cleaning feast. 212-151-167. So if you want to have a successful maha cleaning feast, then you'll see everybody's there. It's just everybody cleans, and afterwards they get tired, and you'll keep going all day until everyone disappears, and next week maybe they won't show up. After taking rest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees departed to take their baths. After bathing, the Lord stood on the bank of the lake and put on dry garments. After offering obeisances to Lord Nrisimhadev, whose temple was nearby, the Lord entered a garden. In the garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with the other devotees. Vaninath Rai then came and brought all kinds of Mahaprasadam. Kashi Mishra and Tulsi, the superintendent of the temple, brought as much prasadam as 500 men could eat. Wow. So Tulasi. So when it says the superintendent, his name is Tulasi, or there's a few of them? Because it always says the. It doesn't say...
Yeah, only single one.
Okay, so his name's Tulasi.
It's called Paticha.
Paticha. Yeah, they generally call him that. Here his name's Tulasi. Seeing the large quantity of prasadam, which consisted of rice, cakes, sweet rice, and variety of vegetables, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Among the devotees present with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Advaitacharya, and Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhara Pandit, Shankara, Nandana Acharya, Raghava Pandit, and Vakreshwara were also present. Receiving the permission of the Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sat down. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his devotees sat on raised wooden seats. In this way, all the devotees sat down to take their lunch in consecutive lines. Yeah, so the wooden seats, that means the chokis, because we mentioned when you do puja and things like that, they'll use those. Right? In this way, all the devotees sat down to take their lunch in consecutive lines, one beside the other. Because if you're in the line, you can serve nicely. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly calling, "Haridas, Haridas," and at that time Haridas, standing at a distance, spoke as follows. Haridas Thakur said, "Let Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take his lunch with the devotees. Since I am abominable, I cannot sit down among you. Govinda will give me prasadam later, outside the door." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not call him again. Sarup Damodar Goswami, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, Kashishwar, Gopinath, Vaninath, and Shankara distributed prasadam. And the devotees chanted the holy names at intervals. Lord Sri Krishna had previously taken his lunch in the forest, and that very pastime was remembered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just by remembering the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was agitated by ecstatic love. But considering the time and circumstance, he remained somewhat patient. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You can give me the ordinary vegetable known as lafra vyanjana, and you may deliver to all the devotees better preparations like cake, sweet rice, and amrita gutika." Srila Prabhupada. Lafra vyanjana is a combination of several green vegetables all mixed together. It is often mixed with rice and delivered to poor men. Amrita gutika is a preparation of thick puri mixed with condensed milk. It is also known as amrita rasavali. Right, so he's saying, you know, all the fancy things. Give me the lafra, the mixed vegetable. It means you take a bunch of vegetables to make the chans, throw them in and cook that. It's simple, like that. So you see Lord Chaitanya, he liked the shak, he liked the lafra, he liked the shukta, he liked the khichdi. You know, these simple aspects. But, you know, all the things are eaten, but he always says, you know, yeah, just give me this. 212-168-180. Since Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, did you notice about the all sat on chokis? And what were they eating? Means they were eating Sandesh brought, flown in from London. You know, what was that Polish Mataji used to cook?
Oh, yeah. She used to bring the carrot fudge.
Hmm. Yeah, she was in a class of her own.
What's her name? Mother...
Was that Kalangana?
Kalangana.
That was Kalangana. Okay. But what were they eating?
Sweets.
Okay. But whose prasadam were they eating? Jagannath's. And notice always that big stink about, no, you can't sit on anything, you have to be on the floor, in fact, dig a hole, you know, just also only your nose sticks out, and then you can, you know, do conker to get at it, and like that. But Lord Chaitanya, everyone sat on seats. So that's just their thing. That's for them. We follow ours. Of course, if you're getting it and they're serving it, then you may be sitting on the floor. But if we get it, then it's not an offense to sit on the choki, because that's the normal thing. You're doing puja, you sit on an asan. So taking prasad is that. They have the unique things, and they themselves follow it. It's perfectly fine, because the mentality is that, oh, it's the most elevated, so I won't sit above it. But we're looking at it, we are honoring prasad, so therefore we sit in the proper asan.
Also, traditionally, person sits on a choki, and then you put a seat also for honoring.
That's there also, but even if not, then, you know, the point is you know, there's this idea that you can't sit on anything. You have to sit straight on the floor. So the Puri Pandas do that. That's their lifestyle. They do it. It's glorious. But then we shouldn't be saying this is the standard. Does that make sense? You know, others do whatever they do, that's fine. But then we have what we do. Like that.
Yeah. So, sometimes, not really devotee, but people are sitting like this, you know? It's not that on the head, not sitting.
Let others do whatever they do. What do we care? We do what we do. Yeah, a lot of times they do like that. Yeah, you know, it's just because they just squatting. It just doesn't matter. Especially if they're just eating a snack, you know, sitting there with a little bag of moody and all that. But, you know. Point is they do what they do, we do what we do. Like even in Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya does said, don't get too close to the Brajvasis. They have their own lifestyle, their own way they do things, and they let them do. We don't complain. Same time as we have how we do. So we respect them, we appreciate, but it's not necessarily that we do that. Is that? 212-168-180. Since Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, he knew what types of preparation each person liked. He therefore had Swoop Damodar deliver these preparations to each devotee to his fullest satisfaction. Jagadananda went to distribute prasadam, and suddenly he placed all the first-class preparations on the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, Jagadananda, okay. Which, when such nice prasadam was put on the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord was outwardly very angry. Nonetheless, when the preparations were placed on his plate, sometimes by tricks and sometimes by force, the Lord was satisfied. When the Lord was thus delivered, because there's force, they say, you know the person likes something and they're being this, and you just keep putting it like that, or sometimes, you know, they'll be sitting there going like this and you just put it on top of their hands or like that. Or a very popular one is that's by force. Then there's tricks. Tricks is that you go to give and they say no, so then you go to the next plate, so they move their hands back, and then you just, you know, you serve them, and they say no, okay, you go to the next plate, and they put their hands down, and you put it on their plate. So, But it has to be, you know, that they like it and all that. That's what he's doing. It's not that, you know, you come along and pour half a bucket of shukta on their plate, you know. You know, stuff like that. You know, it's not a game. It's about pleasing the Vaishnavas. So you're trying to, those things that they may like, those things like that.
So it means to serve prasadam, it's like to be, to understand the taste of every devotee.
Yes, like that. That's why traditionally only second initiated devotees could serve prasad, because only they would consider others, because it's supposed to be second initiated, it's supposed to be mandimas, so therefore they can understand devotees.
Yes.
Our neophytes tend to, you know, not necessarily look at that.
Yes.
But we tend to look at it, you know, who has absolutely nothing else to do and is completely incompetent at anything else, then, you know, they serve prasad.
Yes, yes.
Right? Or work in the gurukul. You know, like that. That's what okay. When the food was thus delivered, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at it for some time, being afraid of Jagannanda. He finally ate something. The Lord knew that if he did not eat the food offered by Jagannanda, Jagannanda was certainly fast. Being afraid of this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate some of the prasadam he offered. Srup Damodar Goswami then brought some excellent sweetmeats and, standing before the Lord, offered them to him. Srup Damodar Goswami then said, "Just take a little of this mahaprasad and see how it is that Lord Jagannath has accepted it." Upon saying this, Srup Damodar Goswami placed some food before the Lord, and the Lord, out of affection, ate it. Right, so there's out of affection, the other is out of this, you know, out of fear, but it's out of, you know, affection, because it's a special relationship that's there. Srup Damodar and Jagannanda again and again offered the Lord some food. Thus they behaved affectionately with the Lord. This was very, very uncommon. The Lord made Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sit on his left side. And when Sarvabhauma saw the behavior of Srup Damodar and Jagannanda, he smiled. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to offer Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first-class food. Therefore, out of affection, he had the servers put first-class food on his plate again and again. Gopinathacharya also brought first-class food and offered it to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya while speaking sweet words. After serving the Bhattacharya with first-class prasadam, Gopinathacharya said, "Just consider what the Bhattacharya's previous mundane behavior was. Just consider how at present he is enjoying transcendental bliss." Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Also to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he says no, the only person who can put it is Gopinath Acharya. Because he's such a big man. Elderly, big man.
Yeah, yeah.